day.
So Lord, Father, I just thank you for Andy this morning. I just thank you, Lord, that your spirit is upon him today. I thank you that your fire, Lord, is burning within his heart with this word that you have pressed into his soul and into his spirit. God, as it's released this morning, God, you said that your word will go forth and it will not, and it will accomplish all that you send it to do, and it will not return void. And we prophesy that today, God, that this word will not return void, but it will accomplish all that you are sending it forth to achieve. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Well, it's great to have you with us this morning. And just as you're on, we're live on Facebook right now. So get your phones out and share, and get this out there so that people will hear what the word of the Lord is, what the encouragement from the Lord is today for the body of Christ right across the nation of the UK and France, Europe and beyond. So that God is good, God's speaking. And I'm just going to pull up my notes here. So that I can see them. So just bear with me a second. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got them. Come on. So I hope you're all having a good day today and that God's been in your heart and speaking to you. So we're just going to roll with this morning. And so I'm just drop that off there and squeeze that in a little bit. That works for me. Ah, hallelujah. There you are. I can see you again or not. So we want to welcome you this morning to Father's House Online here on Zoom and also broadcasting live on Facebook right now. So we bless you guys for coming and joining with us this morning. I've got a word from the Lord this morning, and I believe he's been laying on my heart. It's linked in with prophetic, it's linked in with his word, and it's linked in with what's about to happen to us as the body of Christ. You know, and part of what I want to share this morning is the fact that the Lord is coming with an increase of angelic visitation upon his bride, you know, for this season, in this season, and for us as his people, so that we get not influenced so much, but I'm looking for the right word. It's not so much influence, but impartation, knowledge, and encouragement from the angelic forces that God is releasing from heaven in this season right now to actually encourage and war for and fight on our behalf as the body of Jesus Christ. You know, when the world says it's getting darker, yet the church is getting brighter and growing, and the light of God that's in us is going to be seen. We won't be able to hide it any longer, folks. You are marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot be hidden. And the Bible tells us not to hide our light under a bushel or try and keep it hidden, but in fact, let it out. Let it go. Let it be expressed, and let others be drawn to you because of the light of Jesus Christ that you carry within your heart. So I want to take a quick look at, there's a couple of portions, but first of all, I want to take a quick look at what happened, the encounter of Zacharias back in Luke, where it talks about Zacharias and having this encounter by the incense table in the tabernacle, where his mouth gets shut and the angel of the Lord brings him good news. The fact that his wife, who is of an older age bracket, is about to give birth to someone that the Lord has ordained to be alive at that season in that time. So he doesn't get his speech back again until after the time when the Lord begins to release him again. But what happens is Elizabeth, his wife, gets pregnant. And just after he leaves the temple, it says that Elizabeth became pregnant. An impossibility became a possibility with God. And so Elizabeth is pregnant with this child inside her. And about 6 months pass, and Mary comes to actually visit with Elizabeth. And Mary is also pregnant, carrying the baby Jesus because of the miraculous conception. And it's the story in there goes that when the two come together, that the John the Baptist inside Elizabeth jumps and leaps for joy because he senses the presence of his king in Mary. And the two are just bouncing off each other in the spirit within womb to womb. There's a transference. And it says at that point, Elizabeth gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. She comes rejuvenated, refired, and ready for the season that God is about to lead her and her unborn son into. And so there's an angelic impartation that came when Zacharias heard the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to pass. It was fulfilled. It wasn't just discarded, but it actually came, it was actioned, and John the Baptist was birthed. John the Baptist was the one that actually went as a precursor, a forerunner before the arrival of Jesus Christ onto his ministerial scene. They were both alive at the same time, but Jesus had not yet entered into his ministry, and John the Baptist was this dedicated fireball who had nothing but a coat on him and a belt around it. You know, a skin coat and a belt around it. He lived in the desert. He preached and he called repentance and baptized those that would hear what he was preaching. But he was precursing and getting ready for the arrival of King Jesus to make himself known to the world as it was then. So John the Baptist is like a forerunner. And as it was in the days when John the Baptist and Jesus were on the earth, I believe that before Jesus returns back to the earth again, the birthing of John the Baptist are about to take place, and that there's a tribe and a rise coming in the body of Christ where those that are wholly given up, wholly handed over, they don't care about finances, they don't care about what it is they own or what they need to own. They are just dedicated unto the word of the Lord and getting it out there. And so John the Baptist had no fear about worrying about his food. It says that he lived off locusts and honey. So his provision came from the Lord, but he didn't need to. I don't need the best shirt on. I don't need the best clothes. He was alive to declare a repentance word to the church and to call those to repent and be baptized. And so when he was doing that, he seen success because the hand of God was on him. He was anointed and appointed for that season. And there's now a new season of anointed and appointed John the Baptist lookalikes and the same mindset and the same heart that want to prepare and call out, prepare the way of the Lord, because he is coming and he's coming soon. And we are now in the season of the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the angelic set this up. And the angelic set it in place, and John the Baptist walked it out in preparation for Jesus walking up to him to be baptized. And John says, I'm not worthy even to tie the sandals of the shoes that you're wearing. And then what happens when he comes out of the waters of baptism? The Father opens the heavens and speaks over his Son. This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. And then started that whole journey of Jesus to come into this nation and the world of the nations to transform the world as we know it. And there's been an end time scenario since that date when things were set in place within the kingdom of God, where he said it will never end. It's never going to stop. In fact, it's going to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the enemy's plans to try and wipe us out, take us out, it's not going to happen, because the Lord, like I said at the start, is now in the season of releasing angelic voices, angelic appearances around us as the ones who follow Jesus, that hear his word and will go where he directs and where he leads. And now I want to take us now from there. That's just like a brief introduction. This is another brief introduction to get to where I want to go this morning. So you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1 through to 10. We'll start there. And here it says that now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Come on. Praise God. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, praise the Lord, just as he said. His word was fulfilled. Come see the place where he was lying. And then go quickly, verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So here this angelic person comes, bursts the tomb wide open, rolls the stone away, sits on top of it, with his authority that he had been sent on that first part of the assignment. The second part was the turning up of Martha, or Mary, and Mary Magdalene and Mary to the graveside. Now, this was not an irregular circumstance, because in chapter 27 and verse 61, it says there that, and Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. So the chapter before, these two ladies were there watching over the grave of Jesus. But in this next day, when they turn up, the angel has already shook the earthquake, rolled the stone away, taken authority, and Jesus has walked out of the tomb alive. Come on. And so he encounters Mary Magdalene and Mary and tells them, you know, do not worry, do not fear. You know, Jesus has risen. He's no longer here. Come, let me show you that he's gone. That his clothes are lying on top of the slab, but he's not here. He has risen. He has been resurrected to life, eternal life, and he is about to unleash and turn this whole world upside down with the most fantastic news that had been prophesied for centuries before, that the Lord our God is about to move and return the hearts of men and women back onto himself through the power of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to be saying hallelujah and amen to that, right?
Hallelujah. You know,
and not only that, so they're given instruction to get quickly back to the other disciples and to give them the good news. Jesus is no longer dead. Jesus is resurrected. Jesus is alive. And you're to go ahead of, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, where he said he's going to meet you. So you need to travel to Galilee right now, guys, because we heard the angel of the Lord, and that is the instruction. So you go a few verses forward from that in Matthew 28, and in verse 9, verse 8 says, and they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And in verse 9, and then behold, Jesus met and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. So not only did the angel of the Lord instruct them, but then Jesus turns up when they're on their way back to the disciples and actually confronts them to affirm the angelic word, that they would know the voice of Jesus speaking to them as an affirmation of what the angel of the Lord had just declared to them. So they continue on to awaken the disciples to the fact that Jesus is going ahead of them to Galilee to actually wait for them there, and they were to go there, and he would meet them in Galilee. You know, so I just think this is amazing. So Galilee is the place where it all began for the disciples. Galilee was the place where Jesus walked on the shores of these fishermen and actually said, Andrew, follow me. Matthew, follow me. You know, come, follow me, John. And so he called them and called them to leave what they were doing and come follow him. The Galilean encounter changed these guys' lives forever. You know, and Matthew 4:18 is where we see that Jesus turns up on the shores and speaks to him. Now, Galilee is a place of divine encounter. Galilee is a place of a divine calling for these men that would be ordinary men, were transformed under the ministry and the discipleship that they came under of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galilee is the place of new beginnings. That day, they're of encounter, their life changed forever. They would never be the same. They were never to go back to the old ways. They were never to go return back to what they knew well and had been their life for so many years. But Jesus called them and appointed them and says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Galilee is the place of transition. If there that the fishermen were transformed into world-famous fishers of men. You know, so Galilee is an encounter that allows Jesus to move you from zero to hero, zero to hero. You'll be nobody, and God encounters you and takes you into a hero role where you become a fireball in the kingdom of God, that you handle the power that God has placed upon you to minister for the Lord in every circumstance, in every arena where he leads you. And so we must get back to that first love of the pact of the Galilee encounter. And, you know, when Jesus had died, it speaks about it in John 21. They had returned back to Galilee awaiting for Jesus to show up. But in Galilee in John 21, it says that Peter says, come on, guys, I'm going back out fishing. So Peter was leading the rest of the guys and said, come on, we're sitting around here. Let's go fishing for the night. But all that happens that night is they go in the boat, they go out and they toil all night long. And what happens? Nothing, because they're not entered into it in the right arena that Jesus had planned for them. So they toil all night, and then Jesus appears on the shore and he walks up to them. And when they recognize him, he said, now cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And they caught this huge amount of fish, the 153. And so they were hauling these back to the shore, coming back to the shore to meet with Jesus, because Jesus had said, now bring me some fish. I'm over here on the side of the beach. I've got a barbecue going and I'm cooking you some fish already. But I want some of the fresh stuff, the fresh encounters that you're bringing to shore right now. Bring some of them and let's cook. Let's sit down and eat together. So what was Jesus doing in this scenario? He was saying in uncertain terms, guys, this is not why I met you in Matthew 4. I called you to leave that behind. I call you to enter into being fishers of men. Do not return back to what you think was good because it's not working for you. But when I'm on the scene, it changes and shifts. So you want to be where I am. You want to hear from me and know where I'm fishing on the right side of the boat and then go catch the harvest. You know, we are at the end of Sukkot, the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, and this is the bringing, ushering in of the harvest. And so it's such a significant time to be alive in this year of 2022. And the harvest, we are entering into the harvest. It's no longer a season of Jesus saying, hey, the fields are white on the harvest. Get into it. Cut it down. It is a season that we are in the harvest. We're going to see the miraculous, the awakening and the rising up, because like I said at the start, Jesus and God is releasing the angels of the kingdom of heaven coming here to minister with us, to lead us and to guide us. Now, I'm not saying in any shape or form that we're to worship angels. Our protocol is to worship the Lord God Almighty and him alone. But his messengers who carry wings of fire are coming, and they're going to actually instruct us and say, you need to go to Galilee. You need to get, because I'm going there ahead of you and I will meet you there. And these things are going to become common practice for us as believers in this next season. Does this excite your heart? Do you feel the Spirit of the Lord today? It is a new season. We have stepped over a line and we're entering into the new season where the proclamation of the gospel is no longer going to be hard. It's no longer going to be like you're beating your head against a wall and you get one person come forward and respond. No. In this season, because we are stepping into the operation of where the Father sees what his Father is doing, and the Holy Spirit inside of us, or the angels of the Lord, will tell us, you need to be in such and such a place at such a time, because there's someone there I want you to connect with. So he may tell you, you need to be down at Tesco store tomorrow morning, Monday, the 17th of October 2022, and be there because there's a person that you're going to encounter tomorrow who needs me. They are not well, and you will lay hands upon them, and they will get well right there in the Tesco's area. Come on. These are the sort of things that you think, well, that's pretty weird. That's pretty wild. But I'm telling you, folks, this is the encounters that we are stepping into, that the Father has ordained, that he is calling us to accept and to walk in his ways, listen to his voice, hear him, and then go do what he has called us to do. Jesus said he did what the Father called and told him to do. We, in this next season, are going to be more attuned to the words of God, to his encounters, and to what he is asking of us. Don't you want to be the person that goes and actually does the exploits of Jesus, the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, alive here on the earth today, and you get to have encounters that you carry, that you know with a foreknowledge that you're going into an encounter that Jesus has set up for that person, that they're going to meet Jesus, they're going to meet the King of Kings, they're going to get radically encountered, radically healed, and radically saved, and be set on fire and become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not interested in believers that actually come to Jesus and get, you know, and they're there 5 days, 10 days, 100 days. This is a new season where what has been planted, the seed planted in their heart, will germinate, and they will become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and be on fire like you are on fire. So God is on the move, and we're going to hear the voice of God speaking so clearly to us. It's the season of the angels. It's the season of the Lord. And in Matthew 13, you think I'm spoofing about this? Read Matthew 13. It's there that Jesus says that the angels of the Lord will be sent forth to harvest in the last days. If you think you're not in the last days, well, then shake yourself, pinch yourself, because we are more in the last days now than when Jesus died at the cross at Calvary. We are coming towards the ends, folks, and I know people have been saying that for years, but literally we are at that place where God is ramping up, getting ready for his victorious return to the skies here over the earth, and the whole world will see it. The whole world will know it. But we have a harvest, folks. This is a harvest season, and we're stepping into harvest, and we need to go after the harvest. We need to be the ones that stop looking over the fence at the beautiful field and think, wow, what a harvest, Lord. Send some people in there, Lord. And the Lord's crying out to you, saying, get in there, cut it down, go after the harvest. It's yours for the taking. Come on, get excited. Get your spirit awakened this morning, because your Jesus is on the move. Your Jesus is intensely exciting your heart this morning to say, Lord, I've been waiting for this. God, I've been crying out for this. Are you really saying this is the time, this is the hour? Yes, he is. And he is preparing you. He is calling your heart to awaken and to come alive with the glory and the fire and the passion of Jesus inside of you, to see that Jesus gets the reward for the suffering and the pain that he went through at the cross of Calvary for those sons and daughters of God alive on the earth that do not yet know their Father as a Savior. And we are the ones that will tell them. You know, how will they hear unless we preach the Word of God, unless we show the signs and the wonders that we're called to show? The signs and the wonders follow those who believe. Do you believe it today, that you are a bought son and daughter of the Lord God Almighty, that he has given you all authority, all power to go out and do exploits on behalf of your Lord, on behalf of your King Jesus? You are a dedicated person unto the Lord God Almighty. You are a Nazarite. You have a call upon your life, not to just brush a seat clean on a Sunday morning, but you are called to a manifest presence lifestyle that creates in you an overflow of the glory of God that will pour out of you and touch others around you. Others will get healed. Cancers will go. People will be raised from the dead. Salvation will be on your fingertips everywhere you go, because of what you carry inside of you will bubble up, overflow, and touch the people around you. Come on, Jesus. This is wow. Come on. So for that to happen, we need to get shaken out of our lifestyles of complacency and out of where we have been dwelling. We've been in the valley of complacency and of the valley of, well, maybe someday it'll happen. Oh, I've been hearing about this for years. Shake yourself, stir yourself, for the gift that's in you, that came upon you by the laying on of hands, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, is about to get refired, is about to get rekindled upon you today, because the Lord says, this is a day of change. Behold, the proclamation of the Word of God is going forth, and to the hearer's ears, it will burn and it will ignite, and it will cause a recreation of passionate, fiery love for the Lord Jesus, that you won't be able to help yourself. You'll just go do the stuff in Jesus' name. You know, so Mark 6 and verse 31, just drop this in as a little tiny aside before I go into the rest of the message. It says there that Jesus had them come aside because they were getting inundated by the hordes of people coming, seeking Jesus, wanting healed, and wanting to spend time around it. And Jesus took the disciples and said, come aside, we're going to rest. Let's take this little area. Let's disappear here. And it didn't quite work that way, because the people seen them, followed them around the coast and got there. So, and then Jesus had compassion on them, and it rose up again and it started. But he had the intentions of taking them out of where they were to take them into a season of rest before it all started. So maybe they did get a couple of hours. Who knows? I'm not sure of the intricacies of the story, but I'm sure that they had a brief time of refreshing from Jesus before he had compassion on the people and rose up into his ministerial role again. Amen. So I want to take you now to Mike Bickle, who is the leader and founder of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. this is a little bit of interweaving into the story where I'm talking about where the angels are coming. The angels are here, and they are ministering to us like they did when Jesus came out of the 40 days out of the temptation where the devil tempted him, and yet he came out, and it says God sent ministering angels to administer to him and to just build him back up again. And so he came out of the desert full of the power and the authority of his Father. Amen. So this is a season. What did it say in that chapter, Matthew 4:4? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Folks, we're heading into a season where if everything gets scarce on the shelves, you need to understand that your God is the God that created the miraculous downpour of manna, that he created water that poured out of the rock when it was needed. And even the devil tempted them, says, you know, if you say over these stones, turn to bread, they'll turn to bread. He knew the power and authority that was ordained from the Father on Jesus. So in this season, we got to be expectant that that same God has the power to provide provision for us when it's needed. So if the world systems collapse, then we as believers, we are the ones that will thrive. We will be the ones that be providers to those that are in need, because our God will provide provision for us. You don't need to be thinking, well, what if the financial markets crash? What if I lose everything? My money, my security is gone. You need to focus yourself back on the one you gave your life to, back on the one that the Lord called you to be, and stop focusing on the world's way of doing things. It doesn't and it will not work. There is only one way that will work, and that is the way of the Father, and you need to find his way in this season. You need to find your fresh oil, get fired up, get topped up, and step into the glory realms of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, your provider, your strong tower, your rock, your fortress. He is the only place you will find security in this season that we're entering into. So Mike Bickle, who runs the International House of Prayer, had this word from the Lord back in 1982. And I quote, I will change the understanding and expression of Christianity in the earth in one generation. Now, that's what the Lord spoke to him when he was in Cairo, 30 days, and he was fasting before he returned to start the house of prayer in Kansas City. And the Lord spoke that clearly to him in an audible voice. So he returned and he set in place four principles surrounding the actual house of prayer. And the acronym is, one is intercession. So he was to set up night and day prayer and worship, which did not stop 24/7. And praise God, that is still happening today. Two, he had holiness, the Sermon of the Mount lifestyle in Matthew 5 to chapter 7, that whole lifestyle of the Sermon on the Mount, that was to be adopted. Three, offerings. The Lord challenged about living onto the Lord, that he would actually take, the Lord would bless him with finances, but out of that blessing, he would take the minimum that he needed to survive on, and the rest would be sowed back in to ministry. Come on, praise God for Mike Bickle's example to the body of Christ. He sows what the Lord blesses him with. You're not blessed to actually hoard it. You're blessed to pour it out onto others. In this next season, there's a shift and a change coming. For those that have wealth, more will be added to you as you give to the Lord what he prompts you to do. Do not hold back. Give it over. And then the fourth one was the prophetic, the confidence in God's intervention, that God is our security. God's prophetic word that's being spoken over that we walk in today is actually going to be fulfilled. Come on. And so we look then at 1987. I want to take you. This is a close personal friend who walked very closely with Mike Bickle during the early years. And the guy's name is Paul Kane. He was a prophetic voice to the nation. Him and Bob Jones were really interconnected in the development and the prophetic layout from the Lord for the house of prayer as it was building. But in June 1987, Paul had a vision and a prophetic dream about the nations at the end of the age. There were three parts to this vision in which Paul saw world empires. One, in 1988, George Bush was running for president against Michael Dukakis. The Lord said, Bush is hunting for quail, and the quail will hide from the bush. Now, that was quite a word. And Mike says, I didn't quite understand. What was that all about? You know, it was like this parable that you had to unpick and unravel. But at that point, the tabloids were saying that President Bush Sr. was actually out fishing. So he wasn't talking about hunting, he was fishing. And so this guy, Quayle, turned out to be Dan Quayle, who became the vice president. And when George Bush was inaugurated, there was a bit of an uproar against him having Dan Quayle, because Dan Quayle did not come forward to sign up for Vietnam. He was a conscientious abstainer. George Bush was a decorated, medal-holding war veteran. And actually, when this attack was launched against them, George Bush stood up with his medals on and said, I identify with this man. I know his principles and his values, and he is a good man. And so he literally put Dan Quayle behind him and protected him. So the word of the Lord came to pass. Part two of this prophetic word that Paul Cain received was, the Lord says, within 1 year after George Bush is president, I will knock the wind out of communism. Wow, that's a biggie. But in 1989, the Berlin Wall came down and the USSR was dissipated. So that came pass as well. The third part, and the part we're just in at this minute, Paul said, after some time passes, communism together with Islam will rise up in a coalition as a new world power. It will be horrendously evil and have a strong base in Europe. It will shake the nations. The Lord will raise up a victorious church in Europe. Come on, hallelujah, that will stand strong, walking in the authority of Christ. Amen. Europe was the focus given to Paul in this particular vision to encourage the church in Europe. This evil empire will extend far beyond Europe. So you can see that the sabers are being rattled at the minute with President Putin and what's going on in Russia. There is something building and something growing that's about to take over and hit the world. And so God is up to something even greater, but he's forewarning us that there's a change and a shift coming, and we need to be ready for it. So let's take it forward a few years. Now, this prophetic word was given to Paul Cain 30 years before he landed in the Sunderland area, where Lois and Ken Gott had invited him to come speak at a conference on the 17th of November 2017. Paul Cain ends up speaking in a conference in the Sunderland region, brought in by Ken and Lois Gott. On that same day where he's speaking was the passing away of John Wimber, who had inputted and imparted so much that has brought the church and awakened it to the power and operation in the gifts of signs and wonders and miracles into the United King. He discipled us under the power and instruction of the Lord, and a lot of us are operating today because of the input of that Saint John Wimber. Come on. So we know it. So 30 years later, he's after this prophetic word all about Russia and about George Bush. The Lord ends up with him in the UK to talk about it, because his heart was for Europe. His heart seen what was coming, and he wanted to be in the land to actually initiate and set something in place. Now, 30 years later, he ends up here. Now, in his prophetic word, the Lord says, someday you will be speaking in England, and you'll be speaking to a Elam church, and you will have the chance to release this word. Now, all these years, Ken and Lois Gott, to my understanding, were Church of God or Assemblies of God ministers in the UK. But a year prior to him arriving in the UK, they changed and they joined the Elam church. So it actually fulfilled what Paul had seen coming and where he was going. Now I'm going to read you a part of what happened at this conference in the 17th of November, 2017. 5 years ago, this was his message to the UK. This is a little part of it. There's going to be unprecedented unity that brings unprecedented power, that brings unprecedented faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We want faith to bring power to raise the dead. That will be the common thing in the days to come. In this revival, the dead will be raised, and it will be like major healings of the past. But the dead will be raised. I think we're not looking forward to that just as a show, but wouldn't it be wonderful and convincing to the unlearned and the unbelievers when they see that happen. And they'll know that God is with you in truth. And they'll fall on their face and worship God and report that God is with you with the truth. Isn't that something? We have altar calls and we entice people to come to accept Christ. And sometimes we get a few and we don't get as many as we expected and percentage wise. But I want you to know in these days ahead that this move of God, I believe, will surpass and outstage anything. I've asked the Lord for 1,000 times before coming here, Lord, upstage the revival of 1907. Upstage every visitation and every friend I've heard from lately. They say we're praying to God to give you a visitation in Sunderland that time won't be wasted, that your words won't fall to the ground, that God is surely going to visit you. God is going to fight for you. The battle is the Lord's and the Lord is on your side. And this is not just happenstance. This is something that was in the mind of God before man could even think about it. For man has no ingenuity to bring all this about. We're here tonight to be the forerunners. Forerunners, John the Baptist guys, the forerunners, they're calling them out again to align before the return of Jesus. And the ones who strike the match, you know, and Sister Lois said something about sending his servants to strike the match. Well, if I'm no more than just someone who strikes the match, that's fine with me. Just so the flame will move and burn all over the UK, all over the USA, all over the countries Europe is awaiting for. So as a symbolic act, I'm actually striking the match again this morning. Yeah. In remembrance of the word of the Lord that Paul Cain got over 30 years ago and brought to the UK. The match is struck. It began in Sunderland. We need to remember those days and get quickened in the spirit of the Lord, because this is upon us for a great season that we're now in. Now, he goes on to say, there are places in Europe that have never really seen revival. And France is getting hungry enough for the Lord to catch them on the blind side and move through France. And their hardness against the gospel is going to soften up. Just checking that match had gone out. The hardness against the gospel will soften when they see Christ in you or a glimpse of his dear face in you. All sorrow will be erased and we'll bravely run the race when we see Jesus in each other. Amen. I believe God is signing up an army. Let's put it this way. He wants to enlist you. You don't have to. It's like Gideon's. But if you do, you're going to actually go through the land healing the sick, casting out devils, turning them, breaking strongholds, changing politics and healing lunatics. It's a wonderful thing. This may not seem all that exciting to you, but it's something I just live with and hope to set a fire with. So I brought a match today and I'm going to strike it. I'm going to start a fire and I've started it. That's the plan. So that was in Sunderland in 2017. Now, I'll give you a little background of here. Paul's mother, during his lifetime as a prophet, there's a whole story behind that. I haven't got time to get into the story of Paul this morning, but check him out online. Paul's mother promised him a scripture verse before she passed on to be with the Lord. And she was dying of cancer. And in 1990, she was dying with Mike Bickle and Paul were at her bedside. And when she drew her last breath, the verse had not been given at that point, but soon was to be seen very clearly. When she passed, Mike Bickle turned to Paul and said, Paul, look at the clock on the wall. And as they looked at the clock was sitting at 18 minutes past four. The day was the 18th of the 4th, 1990. The verse that she was saying she would give him actually came to him on her deathbed. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed, set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord in the next season. This is the season we are now in. It's the favorable year of the Lord. We are getting, as the body of Christ, to step into the signs, wonders, and the miraculous of the 4:18, Luke 4:18. We are called to be so much more than what we've been walking in. The Lord's desire and heart for us is for us to arise, to step in again, to press in, and to see the glory of the Lord come across the nations of this world. But here in Europe, if this rise happens coming out of Russia, well, we as the church in the whole of Europe need to be ready. We need to be established. We need to be warriors. John the Baptist forerunning, calling that the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is again rising upon his church. And no matter what you throw at us, we are here for the long haul, because the word of God says that the end is written, that we conquer, that we overcome, that we are glory carriers for the power and the revelation that lies in us, that's awakening right now, even as I'm speaking, where God is coming to enforce you, enhance you, and to awaken the spirit, that gift of God that he placed inside of you at your conversion. And he is awakening it even today, and fire is coming upon you right now, that fire of the Holy Spirit, awakening the gift that's in you because of what is coming. We are to be ready, folks. We need to get our lamps filled with the oil to overflowing. We need to be the ones that are proclaiming this and calling in for the ringing of the bell, the ringing of the bell, the sounding of the sound across this land. The nations need to be awakened that the glory of our God, the harvest fields have been white and ready for so long. It's time to be in the harvest fields. It's time to reap. It's time to see salvation flowing in this region, across the nations, into France, into Europe, that salvation is on the heart of God. His harvest is on his heart, and his spirit is being released to actually encapsulate that and to take us, his people, and get us into the battlefield, get us over the fences that we've stood behind thinking, oh, well, that's somebody else's job. That's the evangelist's job. That's the pastor's job. It's not. It's ours. We are ordained saints of the Lord, holy ambassadors, empowered by that same spirit that's in an evangelist, that same spirit that's in a pastor, and that same spirit is in you. It's in you for a reason. You are here for the season. There is not a chance you need to fire and hold back. You need to release yourself. You need to stir up the gifts that's within you and spend time with your Father and begin to hear his voice and watch for the angelic that turns up. Amen. So in angel encounters, these lead to the assignment, to an assignment that God has for you. You are called. You are not a mistake. You are called for this season, to be alive in this season. And when an angel comes with a message, heed it. Check it out with your friends and then go put it into action. Go action it and allow God to stir you and move you to places you never thought. When you hear the voice of Jesus, it's like the angels came first to Mary Magdalene and Mary, but it was followed up by Jesus, who they heard his voice, bringing further instruction. He brings instruction to us like a stadium encounter. In 2008, the Lord spoke about a stadium. He said, take the stadium. And, you know, 2008 is a long number of years ago, but I believe that what the Lord spoke then will happen, because it aligns with his word that this harvest is upon us. And what better place to actually harvest people, gather them all and bring them into the one place. So it's big. It's a venue where the presence of God can descend and can overwhelm. And even the hardest of people who end up in there will break under the anointing of the power of God. Their hearts will soften and they will return their heart and give it over to the Father of light. The light of God is coming. It's about to shine brighter than we've ever seen before. Then there's the sensing of the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that voice within you leading you to encounter others, bringing good news to them, releasing the signs and wonders. Like I said, what if you waken tomorrow morning or even later today and God prompts you, you need to go to such and such a place and wait, because I have someone coming to you for an encounter. I mean, I remember years ago, we were sitting at the hotel, the Captain's Club down in Christchurch, and we're sitting with another pastor. And we're sitting at this table, and behind me, there's a couple eating their lunch, and he's on the phone, and I'm hearing the Lord speak to me and say, get up, go over and tell him, shut it down. Then say, shut it down. Then say, shut it down. And I'm thinking, okay, God, that's quite severe. And I'm thinking, and I felt the stirring in my spirit, and I thought, I cannot let this go. And so I said to the pastor, I said, excuse me a minute, I'll be back. And so I leave the table, and I go around to their table, and he just finishes his call, puts his phone down, and I said, excuse me, you don't know who I am, but I'm here with a message from God. And God was telling me to come tell you, shut it down. And I did it, shut it down, and I did it, shut it down. And the guy was like, whoa. And I said, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I get a feeling that God's warning you that what you're dealing with at the minute is something you're to let go of and allow something better to come behind that, because it will bless you more than what you're looking at right now. So shut down what you're doing, let it pass you by, and wait for what God has planned for you. I don't know the outcome of that story, but I know that I acted under the prompting of the Holy Spirit, what God was showing me, what I was hearing, and I went and delivered it. You know, so I'm the messenger. The guy and his wife looked, they came up to us at the table as they were leaving, shook our hands, said, thank you so much for that. So I can only assume that there was something on it that resonated with them. And that's the power of God to change the direction of a person's life and to actually start them on a journey coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. These are the sort of things we're entering into, folks. We are entering into encounter seasons where the Holy Spirit will use us to break down people's barriers, to awaken them to that spirit of the living God that's in them. You know, when God breathed into Adam, it was his breath, the spirit of God entered the soul of man, his creation. All of us have the spirit of God in us, and he wants his sons and daughters back. His intention is to bring them into his loving arms and to rescue them from what lies ahead. His heart is for his people. And we that know him already, he's calling us to awaken. Awake, awake, O sleeper. Get out of your slumber. Shake yourself. Stir yourself. And go after the things of God with a new a new intensity and a new fervor like you've never experienced before. Now you may ask me, well, how do you see this happening? How easy can it happen? Let me share just an example. These are numbers I'm just firing. I'm not saying they're real numbers, but there could be numbers, you know. So, but this is what I'm sensing. So let's take the example of one person hears a directional word, excuse me, a directional word, or like the Lord saying, go and get to Sainsbury's and Tesco's tomorrow morning, and I've got someone for you to encounter and meet there. So you hear that word of the Lord, and you adhere to it, and you go there. So you meet that person, and you pray for them, and they get healed. So this is maybe a school scenario as well. You know, a child maybe at school. I'm thinking of our grandson, Josiah, who a few weeks ago felt prompted by the Lord to take his Bible into school and go out in the playground and call others to come to meet him for a Bible study to talk about the Bible. Now, he got a load of flack for it and a load of abuse, but nonetheless, he felt the Spirit of the Lord upon him prompted him to do that. There is going to be fruit on that young man's life because he stepped out for Jesus. Like the young girl back in the 1859 revival in Coleraine, 7 years of age, stepped up in the classroom in her school. The teacher tried to quiet her down, and she said no. And the Spirit of the Lord took care of the teacher, and he then leads the class, leads them to the Lord, then proceeds to take them up the road about a mile into the local hospital. They go through every ward, pray for everyone that's not well. And the Chronicle paper in the Coleraine, the tabloids, have it still written, you can find it today, that the story proceeds that they walked down through the high street in this procession, leading all of the people who were sick or dying in the hospital, cleared the whole hospital out and walked them through the main street. Come on. So Josiah is starting again, the generation of young believers that are firing up and not scared to declare their Jesus as Lord. When the Spirit of the Lord catches that and moves on that, things will shift and things will change and people will be swept into the kingdom. So let's get back to the story. So they then go and tell the friends, hey, you got to come meet this person. I just got healed. And so they come and get healed and they bring some of their friends. So maybe they come back and they've got 50 people they're connected with and they get them to come. And so this one person is dealing with 50 people. But in the midst of that 50 then later in the day doubles to 100. And by the next day and that next evening, it has spread, and there's 500 people turning up, pressing in to say, hey, I've got this disease, I've got this wrong, and I need you to pray for me as well. Then that person calls on their friends, hey, I'm swamped by this, I need help. I need my church's not big enough. I need you to come help. And God starts moving in extraordinary ways. And then when the 500 turn up, next thing, it's grown from 500 to 2,000. So you need a bigger place. You're no longer able to meet in the school playground or outside Tesco's. You need a bigger venue. And the next day you hear that someone at the football stadium says, hey, you come use our place. And you end up going into the stadium and seeing up to 100,000 people flooding in to hear the word of the Lord, to get healed and get their lives transformed because of the one explosion that exploded, a revival hit. And the word of God was released and it rolled out and there was no stopping it, because when God's on the move, he's on the move, folks, and it's going to happen. I'm declaring it over you today that the signs, wonders and miracles that we have been waiting for, that we have been expecting, are loosed. Even as I'm speaking, they're being loosed right now. Get your hands open. Say, God, I am ready. I am so hungry, Lord. I want more of you. I need to see this. I want to be a vessel of honor in your hands. My life, I surrender. I come back to my first love. I come back to the first encounter of Galilee and say, okay, Jesus, I'm following you 100%, all in. I'm not going to waver again. I am with you, Jesus. Take me, use me, do the Isaiah 6 on me. Whom will I send? And let's raise our hands and say, here, God, use me, send me. Don't use him, send me. I want to see this. I want to be the one that lays hands on the sick, sees the dead raised, see cancers drop off people, and see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit operational through my life. And so you make that decision today to say, God, it's all I'm excited about. I hear this and I want it. I desire it. The UK is coming alive with revival fire, and you want to be one of the ones that carry it. You don't want to be on the sidelines. You don't want to be missing out on this next move of God. You want to take it, run with it, get in the boat, get out of the boat, whatever God asks you to do. Go with what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you. Go with what the angelic instruction is bringing to you, confirmed by the word of God. Let's step into the revival that the Lord is saying and has been calling for, that it would be greater than the Azusa Street revival, greater than the Welsh revival, and it would be the greatest thing that ever hits this nation. And books have not been written upon it yet, but it is coming, folks. It's here. It has begun. The Lord is on the move. Our question today is, will you rise up to the actual call today? Will you rise up to say, God, I am yours 100%. I am sold out, whatever it takes, even if it breaks me, even if I die in the working out of it, I say yes to you today. And I'm not worried about my finances. I'm not worried about my life. I will be a John the Baptist that, as long as I've got a fur coat on me and a belt around me, I'll go do whatever I'm instructed to do. I will be led by the Spirit of the living God, and I will see the flow and the oil of the Lord outpouring over me, and signs, wonders, and miracles will be following because of the power of the risen Christ that dwells inside of me, that is awakened. Come on, folks. There is more, more, more. Your King is on the move. Will you rise? Will you stand? Will you get to the front lines with him and say, here I am, Jesus. I'm right with you. I'm all behind you. Let's go. Let's ride into the valleys and let's see the lost won for Jesus Christ. Let's see Europe turned upside down. Europe will be saved in Jesus' name, because his hand has been upon it. He has been prophesying it. And even though it may get darker before it gets lighter, but the light is coming, because the Father has an intentional purpose to destroy the chaos attached to the authority attached to chaos. That's what the Father's after. He says his peace will reign. We will reign with him. We will see the power and the authority released like never before in this nation, across the south coast of England. He is coming, folks. He is coming. He is here. His word is being declared over you today. The match is being struck. The bell has been rung. The sound has gone out. It is restirred, rekindled again. Get in it, get on it, and allow Jesus to fill you to overflowing. Amen. Bless you all. I just pray for you right now that Jesus, that you come upon these people right now with their hands extended in submission and surrender to you. That you come upon them right now, that the fire of God just descends, falls on them, whether they're sitting on their sofa, whether they're at their dining room table, whether they're just sitting in their lounge watching their TV. Let the fire of God hit them. Let the word of the Lord go swiftly and stir up the spirit of the living God that dwells in them to awaken them into this next season and to see it, to sense it, to feel it, and desire it. That Lord says, there is no more holding back. You cannot be still. You cannot be hidden. You cannot light your lamp and then hide it under a bushel. It's time for the awakening, folks. It's time for the revival fires to sweep over the UK. It's time for what was done in Sunderland to sweep over this nation, that the Ken and Lois Gotts of this nation that were fireballs and received the impartation of the Lord back in the 90s, Lord, that this begins to hit the UK again with a stronger sweeping fire over the nation that you know as saints and scholars, that your heart is for, that the lion will be heard again roaring over the UK, that there is a nation to be won. There is a nation to be impacted by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is hospitals that are to be cleared out of all the sick, wounded, and dying. There are morgues that are calling out for the dead to be raised again and to be brought out as signs, wonders, and that's going to happen even in the skies, that there'll be signs and wonders that will physically take our attention off what's happening around us and look to the skies, because something magnificent is happening that is extraordinarily out of this world. So we call in, Lord, all that you have, the intentions. We call in, Lord, the fire and the actual envelopment and the coming of the angelic, Lord, as helpers in this next season to win the harvest for you, Lord. Today we say we are yours, God. We are all for you. We are here for you, Lord. Let the fire of God fill us, overflow us, overtake us, overwhelm us, marinate us in your presence, Lord. Turn our hearts, Lord, that have been weary and burnt out. Turn it back. Turn up the wick again, Lord. Send up the fire again. Let the oil burn brightly again around us, in us, and through us in this season. And let it begin today, now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.